Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
This show is brought to you by Doc Sports Services. Today on Listening with KNN, I'm welcoming on a former Washington Redskin, yes, a true icon right here in the DMV area, and a true fan favorite of the Hail to the Redskins faithful. Yes, I'm talking about Rick Doc Walker, who will join me right here on Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM. Yes, Washington Redskins fans, this is for you, and especially all of you who are counting down to the next big event with the NFL, yes, the NFL Draft. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation using hashtag ListenIn with KNN. Now, this week, we will be getting straight into our action-packed show right after this quick commercial break. Stay tuned. Looking for winning sports picks and predictions? Since 1971, Dot Sports has been recognized as one of the most trusted names in the sports handicapping industry. For the listeners of this very show, Dot Sports is giving out $60 worth of their premium member picks for free. These are the exact same premium member picks that 1,000 of their current members pay for. And guess what? You get them for free. Just text the word radio to the number 29022. Text radio to the number 29022 for instant access. Doc Sports also provides free picks on every single game. You want NBA picks? Simply Google search Doc's NBA picks. NHL picks? Google search Doc's NHL picks. Need MLB picks? Google search Doc's MLB picks. Remember to text the word radio to the number 29022 and start winning today with Doc Sports Service. Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district and beyond. It's now the time to welcome in the man himself, Mr. Rick Doc Walker. Doc, how are you today?
I'm doing good, doing good. Just getting ready for that old draft.
Oh, my gosh. The one of the biggest times of the year for the football fans. I know your show has been blowing up over on the Team 980. I'm sure with everyone asking, you know, who will be next to wear the burgundy and gold?
Yeah, it's an annual affair. I mean, I don't personally get caught up in it. I don't get excited until the guys come in town, and I know who we have.
Right.
And then I'll drop that interest, you know, until I get them in training camp.
Got you, right. And then you kind of get to see what they're really working with more. All right, Doc, well, I want to get into your bio for people that might not know you, even though you are a true living legend here in the DMV area. Is that all right?
Yes, indeed. I'm following your lead.
All right, perfect. So Rick Doc Walker is an NFL veteran who distinguished himself over 9 years with his blocks and timely catches on the football field and, of course, yes, his leadership in the locker room. Doc was a starting tight end for the 1982 world champion, ooh, that sounds and feels so good to say, Washington Redskins under Coach Joe Gibbs. He developed the concept of the Redskins Fun Bunch and was an original member of the famed offensive lineman known as the Hogs. As a member of Coach Dick Vermelli's UCLA Bruins, he became a Rose Bowl champion, receiving Lineman of the Year honors, and he was named an Associated Press All-American. Following his professional football career, Doc transitioned into the business and broadcasting world. Now, I know this is where you guys probably hear him most, but as a broadcaster, Doc has been a college football television analyst for ESPN, the Big East Network, and the ACC. He's also been a color analyst for the NFL on CBS Westwood One Radio. His current broadcasting activity includes being a sideline reporter for the Washington Redskins, hosting his own TV show, Doc Walker's Pro Bowl on Masson, and co-hosting Inside the Locker Room, a daily radio show on ESPN 980. So, Doc, you are keeping busy. And in addition to broadcasting, you're also doing some consulting work, I understand.
Well, yeah, Walker Corporate Consultants, which I've been, it sounds crazy, but in one way or another, been involved with over 30 years of,
wow.
you know, starting off with youth mentoring, and I had Minds in Motion. And now doing a lot of corporate sales training, management training. And my emphasis is on improving your competitive nature within the workplace. And
wow.
Teaching people who did not participate in sports, per se, how to actually compete and to think along the lines of how athletes have to think, or otherwise they don't survive.
Right, right. And that's huge. And, Doc, I think that is especially huge because sometimes we don't hear those stories of former athletes, I mean, starting their own business and now you're consulting. So what would you say out there to guys who want to not only play in the NFL but also maybe currently play in the NFL, why it's so important to kind of have something that they can fall back on after football is done?
Well, the first thing young people have to realize, they have to be handle their first business first. If they be athletes, be an athlete. Exhausted.
Right.
You know, try to play
right.
as long as you possibly can. But
right.
in the meantime, always realize that nobody plays, with the exception of Tom Brady, into their 40s. So
right.
most guys are going to flame out in their 20s or, you know, 30s. And so
right.
you hopefully the life expectancy, let's say it's 75 years or whatever, that's a lot
right.
of life.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize, well, what are you going to do? They stop feeding you. They stop paying you the moment they cut you, the moment you retire. You're done. And I just think
right.
it's important for these guys not to blow money,
right.
as all of us have done, but to
mm-hmm.
realize that it runs out and you got to be able to
right.
replace it.
Right, right. And that's huge. And that's why I wanted them to hear it from you, someone who has experienced it, you know, because you played in the NFL. And I think hearing it from you guys need to realize, though, yes, unfortunately, that money does come to an end. But look at you. I mean, you're showing that you're living proof that there is life after football and that you can excel in life after football. And, Doc, that's why it's a true pleasure to have you on this show. Now, also, Doc, I mean, what advice would you give to those who want to be entrepreneurs but don't know where to start and starting their own business?
Well, you hope you can do what you like to do. My
mm-hmm.
goal in life is always to be to never have a job. I don't
right.
go to work feed off. I enjoy
mm-hmm.
my work. I work with
right.
two fabulous guys in one project, Brian Mitchell, Scott Jackson, and
mm-hmm.
Mike Callow, and then my business partner, Mike Bird, been with Bird over 20 years, and another project with Ali and Brian. I mean, so all these pods, they're all great people that I enjoy being around, so I'm
right.
not being tortured at anything I do. And then running WCC, you're your own boss.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've always enjoyed being my own boss in some areas and
right.
being an employee. I mean, you have to be a
mm-hmm.
great employee. You can't be in charge until you're
mm-hmm.
really a good employee or a good
right.
teammate. But I've never bought into the notion that I was going to work for somebody my whole life. That was never going to happen.
Right. Ooh, words well said. I'm taking notes as I'm listening to you myself, Doc. I can truly hear the wisdom in your voice. All right. Now, Doc, I want to get into the show with you because that's what everyone's excited about as I have you on as my guest. And I like to start, Doc, with my Doing It Big in the DMV segment. And I know I wanted to focus on football this show, but we have to talk about the Washington Wizards, who, of course, right now are playing in the NBA playoffs. And, I mean, everyone's excited, Doc. Playoff John with the shades is back in action. And, I mean, since John Wall has returned to his injury, he has been playing just stellar basketball. He just played in his eighth game after undergoing his knee surgery, which of course was earlier in the season. And then if that's not enough, he made or assisted on the final 7 Wizards field goals and scored or assisted on 18 of Washington's final 23 points in their last game against the Toronto Raptors. So seeing what you see from John Wall and the Washington Wizards, do you see them getting out of this first round in the NBA playoff stock?
Well, they have the ability to, but they've been inconsistent all year.
Right.
And
right.
I think we know that John and Brad, terrific talents, Mm-hmm. They've got to play defense with the same right. passion that they're mm-hmm. offensive minded. And then, as Martin Grotot proved in the last game, mm-hmm. he played his butt off.
Yes, and Mahimi, they needed to.
Mahimi and Grotot mm-hmm. are the keys to their advancement. If those guys play like they played last game,
right?
Well, I know Porter, I think, is consistent. Morris.
Yep.
I really like, I mean, the contributions of whether it's the guys coming off the bench have been in, and they've been great. Oubre, San Rossi,
Mike Scott and Oubre, yep.
Oh, I love Mike Scott. Love Mike Scott yes. to death. Because mm-hmm. he don't talk a lot. He
right.
plays really, really well. And I just think that they can control their destiny. Love what Ty Lawson has brought to the table.
Yes.
But the question is, when you're inconsistent and you're mm-hmm. undisciplined, you can never right. control your destiny.
Mm, yep. And like you said, that inconsistency has been the tail of the season for the Washington Wizards. Bad enough they had to drop in seeding, you know, after such a pretty solid regular season. But then, of course, towards the end of the season, we just kept seeing them fall a seed. And now in the playoffs, after they were down 2-0, people did get worried because we know the percentage margin of teams that are able to come back. But luckily, the Wizards played well at home, as they usually do. But now, of course, my question about consistency is, can they do that on the road again in Toronto? Because I think whoever wins this Game 5, Doc, it's going to be crucial to seeing who wins this series. But as you said, I mean, Mike Scott coming off the bench has been tremendous. I love the energy Kelly Oubre brings as well to the team. If Porter and Morris can keep being solid and John Wall and Bradley Beal just keep doing what they do and just playing consistent lights-out basketball, I think the Wizards are in good shape. And as you said, Gortat and Jan Mahimi, yes, they have to continue to show up. And they are a very scary team in the East. And me personally, Doc, I think the East, for the first time in a little while, I think the East has actually opened up where we can see the light for the Washington Wizards, which I think is an exciting time for D.C. because we've been waiting a while, Doc, for the Wizards, you know, to hopefully get to that promised land and hopefully, cross my fingers, I can make it to that Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, if I were you, I'd focus on Toronto, period.
Yes, that is the key. That is the
yeah,
key.
This team is, they can't look ahead to anything, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to earn it. And
yep.
they've shown me no indication
right.
of me guaranteeing anything. I know they're capable,
right.
but unless they tighten up from the neck up,
mm-hmm.
then it's going to be rough.
Right. And we know Toronto, I mean, they're bringing the heat with DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. Those boys can play some basketball. So it's not going to be an easy road for the Washington Wizards. They are playing the number one seed in the East. But hopefully that next game they can get the win and hopefully keep Drake from talking all of his trash talk. I don't know if you saw some of the back and forth him and John Wall were doing on Twitter, but it's been fun to watch. But of course, we want to silence Drake and put his Raptors to sleep, hopefully, this first round of the playoffs.
If I was going to give John some advice, stick to basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you
just say stay out of social media.
Stick to basketball. Yeah, I mean, that's why they're in a position. That's why they're the eighth seed. See, they got too much extracurricular going on.
Right, right. And just staying with that, Doc.
I'm not a fan of none of that.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to ask you. So, of course, during the end of the regular season, when John Wall went out, there was a lot of talk about if the Wizards were better without John Wall, which I'm sure you heard. And then also there was talk about how the locker room, they were saying basically the Wizards were ganging up against John Wall, saying they kind of played better team basketball without him. Do you think some of that discourse is kind of playing its way out with the Washington Wizards and why they did fall to that eighth seed?
No, I don't. Again, I don't really listen to their chatter. I watch them play.
Mm-hmm.
And if they play better defense, they might have been a four seed. But I don't care about seeds. That's not my thing. You
right.
got to beat everybody to get to it. So what difference?
At the end of the day, yep. That's so true.
Yeah, I don't care about seeds. If you're scared, forfeit. Just quit.
Mm.
But I don't get into
mm-hmm.
who we playing, who we avoiding. Are you avoiding? I ain't avoiding nobody. What they ought to focus on is not turning the ball over. Not over-driven.
Right.
If they would just share the ball and play up to their capabilities, they could very well take advantage of this void. The void
right.
is that Cleveland is not dominant. This
right.
is an opportunity of a lifetime, but I'm not certain that they're mentally strong enough to take advantage of it.
And that's what we will see. I mean, these next games matter crucially, and they have to win in Toronto. And as you said, the Wizards have to take advantage of it. Right now, it's do or die time. It's the NBA playoffs, not a time to mess around. But now, Doc, I would like to transfer over to my Kelsey's Across the Nation segment. And yes, we have to talk about the NFL draft. We are getting closer to the first round of the NFL draft, which will be Thursday in Arlington, Texas. And of course, every football fan just wants to know who their team will draft. Some of the big names, of course, as always, usually are the quarterbacks. We have Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, and of course, Baker Mayfield, who really pretty much continue to dominate the conversation. But I do want to look at Washington first. And of course, having you on, it's only right. So everyone's looking at that number 13 pick, Doc, that the Washington Redskins have. So my first question to you would be, what position do you want to see the Washington Redskins draft and why? And then with that, which player do you currently have your eye on for that 13 spot?
I don't have my eye on any players, to be
okay.
quite honest with you. I don't,
mm-hmm.
because there could be a trade tomorrow, I mean draft day.
Very true.
Mm-hmm. And it could change everything. I want them to get a starter.
Okay.
So whether it's Fitzpatrick, who's the safety out of Alabama,
yep.
I think he'll be gone. All the guys I
okay.
like, I think he'll be gone. But
mm-hmm.
this is going to be a great opportunity for them. This kid Edwards out of Virginia Tech, I adore him.
Yeah.
I like people that play hard. I don't
okay.
see, I'm not into prospects. If you didn't
mm-hmm.
do it in college, you won't get a chance to do it for me in the pros.
Mm.
Vita Vea
right.
is a terrific talent. He don't
yeah.
play hard every play. So I'm going to,
mm.
he's enormous. He's highly talented.
Right.
Anybody that big should be the first player taken if he just balled out. See, I don't
right.
I don't play. I'm looking for guys who play like a savage. I want football
right.
players that love that game. I like Deron Payne, the kid out of Alabama. I've seen him on film. But Alabama players
mm-hmm.
don't get doubled enough for me
mm-hmm.
because they're so
okay.
good. They dwarf other teams. So they only
right.
have, like, to me, 3 games a year where they're really challenged physically.
Mm.
I like
right.
what I see, but, again, it's a tough chore. I don't want to make the decision of it, but if I
right.
had to, I want a defensive player.
Okay.
Unless I can get the guard out of Notre Dame, but I can't get him. He'll be gone. Nelson.
Right.
He's the best football
mm-hmm.
player, to me, in the draft.
Mm, okay.
He is a – yeah, but we won't get him. So that's
right.
why I go – I'm more of a free agent. I love the second day. I want guys that are hungry. I want the guy that don't get drafted. I want a guy that gets drafted in the fifth round and feels like he should have been a first rounder. I want my
okay.
players to have chips on the shoulders, yeah.
Right.
I don't fall for the hype and all this mock garbage. That ain't me.
Right, right. And I think, honestly, as fans or even in some sports media, we know you can't fall for the hype because sometimes those top guys, we all know, do not pan out as people will think. And as you said, playing college and playing in the NFL, it's two different things. You talked about how you don't think Alabama gets challenged. I completely agree with that, as you said. I mean, they're really just dominating. I mean, that size that they
yeah,
have
they dominate
is really – it's unparalleled, right? So, I mean, they don't really get that challenge, unfortunately. And so when they get to the NFL, it's probably a big wake-up call, and not everyone is able to make that step over. And I like that you talked about Vita Vea. I mean, he's pretty much the person that most mock drafts did pick for Washington to possibly get at that 13th spot. And you talked about Fitzpatrick, who you can't say enough great things about. You know, Edmonds and Derwin James is another person that a lot of people like at that spot. Roquan Smith. Deron Payne, though, I mean, just, again, another person. But I think, like you, if the Redskins can draft defensively at that position, I think it would be a good all-around win. And then with that, with the Redskins getting, of course, quarterback Alex Smith, are you at all looking at any of the quarterbacks in the draft for the Redskins to use with one of their picks?
No, I don't think.
Okay.
I mean, they may do something the second day of the draft, but
mm-hmm.
I think you can't afford to waste selections. I think they have
okay.
three guys in their camp they're happy with. And but, you know, again, that's the thing about this. You never
right.
really know because the game changer may not be any of the guys that you mentioned.
Right.
Because it just depends on how you translate. That kid out of Louisville, to me,
mm-hmm.
that's why I'm glad I'm not in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would be almost impossible for me not to really evaluate him, because he's the most gifted talent. That doesn't mean he's the best quarterback. But this game has always been measured by the gifted one. So there's a lot to be. I'm looking forward to it. Thursday, I can't. Every year, I just want to see, you know, who gets this life-changing opportunity.
Right. And I mean, nothing beats draft night and seeing those guys' lives truly, truly change when they hear their name called. Of course, Washington, they will be looking with their for their pick with the number 13. And as always, I do like to kind of somewhat talk about the draft order just because I want to keep people updated around the draft. And so, of course, Washington fans look at that 13. But as you said, Doc, that could change. So that is not a guarantee, but it could change at any moment. But, of course, the Cleveland Browns are the number one pick. I think we can all agree that we want Cleveland to keep that number one pick. The Giants at number two. We have the New York Jets at number three. The Browns also at number four. Broncos at five. Colts at six. The Buccaneers at seven. Chicago Bears at eight. San Francisco 49ers at nine. Oakland Raiders at 10. Dolphins at 11. And for now, the Buffalo Bills at 12. And then, of course, Washington Redskins at 13. So keep an eye on that with the NFL draft. And, Doc, just looking back, I mean, what words of advice would you give to those guys who do not hear their name called on NFL draft night?
Be happy that you now can pick the team that may work out best for you.
Well
said.
The free
agent gets to pick where he wants to go. Yeah.
That's such a good point. That is such a good point. And as you said, kind of what you're alluding to, the dream is not over. It doesn't mean you're not going to make it. So I hope people keep that in mind. All right, now I would like to get into my biggest headlines in sports. And I don't know if you heard, but a lot of people are wondering what was going on with Julio Jones, Doc. He sent a lot of his fans on Twitter and Instagram. They got really nervous when they noticed he changed some stuff on his social media accounts. So basically, of course, Julio Jones, through the first 7 years of his NFL career, a pro bowler, he has been a true cornerstone and milestone of the Atlanta Falcons offense. And many, of course, consider him one of the top players in the league. And really, there weren't any questions of his standing with the franchise. But when he switched his Twitter account to private and unfollowed his Falcons teammates, along with deleting Falcons photos from his Instagram, Doc, people got scared. But it is important to note he did sign a 5-year, $71 million extension with the Falcons in 2015. And, of course, he hasn't really been the talk of trade rumors. But what would you say to fans that really just almost their heart stopped, Doc, when they saw Julio Jones deleting Falcons content from his social media?
Again, social media is fun.
Don't pay attention to it, right?
I don't. I do with fans because it's a fan base.
Right.
And so I don't criticize. No, fans, I mean, that's the fun part about this. But, I mean, I don't care about anything that some guy does if he's not on the field. He signed the contract. Right. To me, he signed it. He shouldn't have signed it.
Right.
So what is he showing all these fans that he doesn't live up to his contract? Is he unethical?
Right.
What is he doing?
Right.
You know, so my thing is to Julio is that should be something you deal with your agent and the lawyers and the team behind the scenes.
Right.
To me, and I don't know if it's a fact. See, I don't believe everything I read. So I don't want to discredit Julio.
Right.
But from a business standpoint, to me, that's unprofessional.
Right. And, I mean, he is a big part of the Falcons. So, of course, I can understand why fans got scared all of a sudden and were wondering, hold up, wait, what's happening with Julio? But, I mean, as you said, it is social media. Guys do things for different reasons. Some people are reporting he actually just wanted a break from social media, which I guess I can understand because it does get overwhelming sometimes. But as for now, fans can calm down because for now Julio Jones is still with the Atlanta Falcons. And staying on social media, the UFC – and the UCF championship rings appeared on social media, Doc, as well. So, of course, the UCF football team, they added some new hardware to commemorate their undefeated season. Who can forget what a season they had this year? Did you get a chance actually to see those rings, Doc, on social media?
No, I saw them play, and I enjoyed watching them. They had a hell of a season.
Yes.
But they're no more national champions than I am. I mean, you can't make stuff up. I mean, you know, to me, that's they played their butts off. And,
right.
But they weren't in the national championship game.
Right.
That was my memory serves me right. It was Clemson, Alabama.
And I'm glad you touched on that, because that's what I was going to ask you, Doc. Are they going too far with, you know, doing this championship celebration, getting rings, all because they had an undefeated season?
Well, you can have rings for undefeated season. That's not a problem. I'm not mad at that. Everybody gets rings. They give you rings for bowl games.
Very true, right.
Yeah, it's an undefeated ring. But it's not a national championship. Yeah.
Right.
And
that's what they declared it, though, with the rings. Right.
Well, they can declare it. You know, again, people do all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that it's right or that I have to get involved in it. See, I learned something from a wise man I worked with for 12 years, Coach John Thompson, Hall of Famer, Georgetown Hoyer.
Yep.
He taught me a phrase that I live by. Hear nothing, say nothing.
Mm.
And to me, that's just noise. I don't pay no attention to it.
Right. Right. And I'm glad you said that, because I think that's something important to think about, because, yes, they, unfortunately, of course, they thought they should have had a bid, and they were mad they didn't get it. And they kind of have been, since the end of the season, playing out this whole championship thing. I mean, they even put a 2017 national championship sign up at the Spectrum Center at their Saturday spring game. And then if people aren't remembering why they're probably doing all this stuff, yes, they did go undefeated during the 2017 season, and they did win the American Athletic Conference. But they were left out of the college football playoff, with basically the selection committee saying that UCF's schedule wasn't strong enough. They did beat Auburn in the Peach Bowl, which a lot of people praise them about, and they finished 13-0.
Big win.
But
it was a hell of a season.
Right.
Ross, their coach, I love everything they did. I mean, I respect what they did.
Mm-hmm.
But
again,
you're not gonna. And if those guys wear it, then fine, good for them. But if a guy walks up to them from Alabama.
Right.
I mean, you know, you just – and do I think they would have beaten Alabama?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
But I they weren't afraid of them.
Right, right.
And that might have been a hell of a game, you know what I mean? Might have been. But it's not that we're going to start making up stuff, then that's where you lose me. You deal with what you have. And if those guys want to go with that, then so be it.
Right, right. And that's
like
what some people are mad about.
Ring.
I like
the only – see, they put the only 2017 undefeated.
Yes.
And if it's just their championship ring, I'm good with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one else can say that.
That's true, right.
See, that's what they can say. And had they done that,
right,
it would have been honorable to me.
Instead.
Dishonorable. Yeah.
Ah. And so I will just add to this, their athletic director, Danny White, said when he was asked to explain this whole situation, he said, "We're trying to build our program, and we feel very strongly as the only undefeated team, and having beat Auburn, who beat both teams competing for the national championship, that we have an extremely sound case to claim the crown." So that was quoted from their athletic director as to why they continue this celebration. So basically you're saying,
and
no,
it's not,
we're fine with the ring.
Not crazy. It's
right.
not crazy. It's
right.
not crazy. And I understand that, because
mm-hmm.
they did have an equal foe. But
right.
But again, if you want young people to understand how to make it in America, then you really need to go at it from the sense that the one thing they had over everybody is that they were undefeated.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if you make
right.
it the undefeated champions, I would respect that. Because that's what they were.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But they're not by standard. They're not going to be in the record books as a national champion.
Right, right. And unfortunately, like you said, I mean, I know they want to be. And yes, it'll be memorable. They'll remember it. I think we will for a long time remember it. But as you said, it won't be in the record books. But I'm fine with the celebration, because I think for their players, they're just showing their commitment to them and really just how big of a season that was. All right, staying with football, Doc, I now want to talk about Tom Brady, who we mentioned a bit earlier, but it was announced this week that Tom Brady's agent, Don Yee, expected that the soon-to-be 41-year-old quarterback will play in 2018. He told the ESPN's Adam Scheffner. Brady had said before the Patriots Super Bowl loss that he will play next season, but Scheffner had reported last week that Brady still hadn't committed to returning. So when you heard this news, I mean, did anything change in your mind about what you thought about Tom Brady and his career this season?
Like I said, hear nothing, say nothing. Mm-hmm. I didn't pay any attention to any of it. There was no way in the hell Tom Brady was not going to play this. He already said he's playing his 40s. That was just noise. And again, we're in a social media-driven society, but it doesn't mean that it's right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, but if you want to chase, there are people on the Beltway who stop.
Mm-hmm.
They call them rubberneckers.
Right.
They stop. There's nothing to stop for. The accident is on the other side of the deal, but they have to look at it. That's what I look at all this is. They're rubberneckers. And you can't stop them. It don't make any sense. It's a waste of time, but people do it.
Right. Right. And honestly, Tom Brady is not stopping until he has to stop, in my opinion. I think we're going to continue to see him. He wants another ring, and with that Patriots team, I mean, you can't count him out. So, kind of like you, I didn't think it was big news, but it was trending on social media, so I did want to talk about it. And also, staying with football, Doc, I have to go to my Kelsey's Are You Serious Right Now segment, because TMZ posted this Odell Beckham Jr. posted this video on his social media, and then TMZ also had got video as well. But while he's waiting for a big contract, because he's saying he wants at least $20 million per year, which, of course, would make him the highest-paid wide receiver in the NFL, he posted a video of him pulling a 5,600-pound Denali up a hill. I mean, okay, so let's break it down, Doc. When you first hear that Odell Beckham Jr. wants that much money, do you think he deserves that much money in a contract?
He's a terrific player.
Mm-hmm.
I think he could be considered the best at his position right now.
Okay.
He is, and I respect his game a great deal. I don't listen to almost anything he ever says because that's just not how I roll. But if you're bored and you got very little to do, it's, you know, chase it. I don't chase it at all because he's campaigning. He signed a contract. I'm old school.
Right.
You know, if you sign a contract, live up to it. If you don't want to do, then sit out. If you think you can make more money by not getting any money, by holding out, then roll with it. But I never fall for the trap. I'm beyond that. I mean, you know, that's, but there's a lot of society that's into it. And I'm not begrudging anybody's ability to waste their time. You can waste your time doing anything you want to do.
Right. Right. And, I mean, Odell Beckham Jr., he just continues to be the talk. And people are saying, you know, he posted this video to show, I mean, really how much he's been preparing in the offseason to try to get that big contract. But, I mean, just in your opinion, do you think posting videos like this in the offseason will help him at all with his goal of trying to get that big contract deal?
No, I don't. I love the kid because he works out. He's a trainer. And I enjoy watching TMZ. But again, it's entertainment. You know, it's just entertainment. I don't pay attention to any of that because, other than to be entertained. You know, I love entertainment. But to me, football players play in September. They go to camp in August. Anything they do prior to that, I pay very little attention to because it's just all chatter.
Right.
So you talk during the season. You talk during the season. And his team was horrible last year. And he was hurt most of it.
Right.
My advice with him would be to shut up and get healthy and try to help his team come out of last place.
Right. Because the Giants last season, I mean, it just seemed like they just continued to unfold in a negative way. But Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, they have a lot of good players. They have a lot of good players.
And they do. It just didn't come together. And he's still young. I mean, 25 years old. He still has a lot of promise in him, and I think he's off to an even better future. But I think I'm like you, just kind of show your skills. You don't have to do all this extra around it. And unfortunately, some of his decisions have him being a controversial player, but no one can take away the talent that the man has. Now, people have questions if he deserves that much money, and of course, like you said, staying healthy. But I can't wait to see him continue to play and, I mean, just make – I mean, he's really, especially the one-hand catch. I mean, now he has guys just thinking that's the norm. And I see so many little kids, Doc, that are playing Pee Wee football and things, just trying to be just like him. So a lot of people are watching and looking up to him. So hopefully he gets, you know, what he deserves. I think like you, his off-season workouts, I mean, he's really putting in the work. He's not just speaking about these things. He's trying to show that he is the greatest, and that's what he's trying to live up to. So, I mean,
well,
I think
I'll say this. Mm-hmm. What he's doing is making parents work harder.
Mm, yeah.
Because if you let your kid be influenced by him, then
mm-hmm.
you're an idiot to me.
Mm.
I mean, parents, okay. you got to remember your kids. I mean, and that's just my opinion on it. I mean, I don't, mm-hmm. ain't nobody on TV. My kids aren't, they're not influenced by a stranger in any sense.
Right.
No.
Right.
If that was the case, then I would be a jackass mm. as a parent.
Right. Right. And hearing you say that, Doc, then I have to ask you, because I think with everything going on with Colin Kaepernick and things like that, do you think athletes, is it their duty to be a role model? Because they do know, I mean, you said it's the parents, you know, it's up to the parents, I guess, to control who their kid thinks is a role model. But do you think athletes have the duty to be role models, positive role models, to youth that do look up to them?
I think your first obligation as an athlete is to your family.
Okay.
You know, he should focus on not disrespecting his own family.
Mm-hmm.
And then if, you know, but he doesn't have any obligation to do anything other than represent himself the way he thinks fit is fit. And if the people
right.
in his life allow him to do it, then it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's one thing. It's a free country.
Right.
If he understood history, which he obviously doesn't,
mm-hmm.
and he understood that in 1960, one,
mm-hmm.
Bobby Mitchell was the first African-American player in the Washington Redskins.
Yes.
They were the last yes. team to integrate.
Mm-hmm.
These young guys have no clue about history, what guys had to do to hold out, how they were discriminated against. We just recently got to the point where a man of color could play quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So if
yeah.
these kids decide not to turn their back on history, then that's their fault. I can't make them. Mm-hmm. I can't make them do anything. But if they understood the struggle that it took for them to get this platform, then I think they would conduct themselves in a different manner. Now, whether that's mm-hmm. up to them or their parents, that's their prerogative. Like, I
mm-hmm.
have my prerogative not to even care or focus on it. They have them
right.
to do their thing. Because for these kids, it's about followers. So
mm-hmm.
if you're one of the followers, then follow them. But to
mm-hmm.
me, you know, it's a bleep on the radar.
Wow. Well said, Doc. That's why I had to have you on. I mean, I think you just speak so much wisdom, and I truly do appreciate you giving your time to be on my show today.
No, well, thank you. But it's not about what, you know, it's about there could be people that are in complete opposition to
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying, and that they have the right, to do that.
Right.
And
they're
that's what makes
this
country great. That's what,
mm-hmm.
that's what I love about this country. We have
right.
to have the right of expression.
Right.
But I'm not going to let
right.
young people, especially of color,
mm-hmm.
act as if people didn't get brutalized and people didn't
mm-hmm.
get disrespected. And guys like
right.
James Shaq Harris, I mean, who went through that. I have an obligation to at least inform these knuckleheads that
mm-hmm.
they aren't the first people to ever do this.
Right.
And that to
right.
me is very, very important. I played
mm-hmm.
with a Hall of Fame wide receiver, James
right.
Arthur Monk,
mm-hmm.
class act. Never
right.
painted his face up, never did none of that. All he did
mm-hmm.
was kick people's rear ends, beat people, and win.
Right.
So for me, and it doesn't mean that I'm right, but you asked me to come on your show, so
yep.
this is who I am. I
yeah.
express it in a way that I'm looking at not only our generation, but the next generation.
Right.
And the things I see now are just, they're laughable. It's how
mm-hmm.
many I'm watching young people just throw money away, throw careers away. You know, the basketball said everybody's committing to go to the pros. Ain't nobody asked you behind to go to the pros.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they'd stay in school and build a
right.
brand and grow, but, you know, nobody's listening. Everybody thinks
right.
they got to figure it out because it's a get rich quick. You know, the NBA
yep.
has these 15 lottery spots.
Right.
So we got 150 guys that think they can make these 15 slots. And the 15
mm-hmm.
guys are great. They'll be great.
Right.
And they'll be rich. But the 100 others are done. They
right.
won't be educated. They're not going to make any money. They're going to multiply. And
right.
to me, That's not a good plan.
So let me ask you this then, Doc, since we're speaking on this subject. I mean, how do you think we can kind of change this culture? I mean, is it up to players' associations to start teaching these guys more about the history of the game and how to spend their money right and things like that? I mean, or whose duty is that to help these athletes hopefully make the right decisions?
Their parents.
Okay.
And their mentors and the leaders in their communities. I mean, this is not anything new. These young'uns, I mean, this whole era, I mean, all of us make a lot of mistakes before we're 25.
Right.
But had we listened to the people that was 45 that tried to tell us, we'd all have a lot more money and we'd have made a lot less mistakes. But it's just the way it goes. But I'm just saying now that the kids are being exposed earlier, we have to do a better job of training our 8th graders and 9th graders, 10th graders, that this is real. There's a lot of opportunity out here. But as quick as you get it, there's a group of people, excuse me, that are just waiting to take it from you. We always talk about the achievers, the financial achievers, but we don't talk about the financial deceivers.
Right.
The people that come there and rip them off. And the property people, the agents and the stock people. And so it's just a slush fund. They're easy prey. You know, and as a former idiot, I look at this now and go, hey, you're really not going about it the right way. But nobody wants to listen because the young people think that money is wisdom. Money is not wisdom. And I'll tell you one quote to Fred Smoot. My dear friend shared with me on the show. He said, you know, when you're drafted, they don't give you an instructional manual as to how to deal with it. And I think Fred nailed it on that, because just because you're talented athletically doesn't mean that your brain is developed enough to be able to keep you financially solvent. Most people blow it and give it back. That's why the percentages are in the 70s or higher of people that are 4 years out of their profession are broke.
Right.
That's no joke. But nobody discusses it regularly. Everybody wants to dance around the issues. And so that's why I go. Your family has got to be your ally. Your community, your civic leaders, your churches. You got to have some roots. But if you got an 18-year-old head of the household, you got a bad household.
Yep. And, I mean, Doc, hearing you talk, it brings up a lot of questions to my mind. And I agree with you. I think it starts in the home because, I mean, that's the first influence I think a child has. And then, like you said, the community. But I had LeVar Ball on my show a couple of weeks back, and he made the point in the sense that a lot of people criticize him, right, for wanting the best for his kids. And his kids love basketball. And, of course, he's trying to help propel their career. And thus, they look to him for guidance. And he's, of course, helping them play in Lithuania right now. And then now he started his basketball, professional basketball association. But I bring that up to say what he's doing, some people, he says, fully don't understand because they're not used to it. They're not used to it. And so when I hear you say it starts at home, let's say a family maybe doesn't really understand finances because maybe they're not a wealthy family. So they don't know what to tell their maybe future pro kid, you know, how to spend that money. I mean, then where does the money lie in that? I mean, do you think school systems need to start teaching about financial literacy? I mean, is it the job of the church? I mean, what would you say maybe to those people who feel like they're kind of in these places where they don't have the resources to educate themselves about, you know, being smart with money and things like that?
Well, I mean, there are financial advisors in every community. There are.
Okay.
If you know how to read, you can get a directory and find and interview people. Everybody will work with you if you have money. Now, it's difficult if you don't have any money, but you're talking about people who have money. So it's not like we grow up sitting at our dinner tables discussing finances as we grow up.
Right.
We don't as a group.
Exactly.
So, but you're talking about people, a lot of them are in college. Why colleges don't make that a mandatory curriculum?
Yes.
Financial planning should be for all scholarship athletes, it should be a curriculum. I don't know for the life. I mean, when I was in high school back in the Stone Ages, we had home ec, and people used to laugh at it.
Right.
Do you know how many of these guys? I remember we had a former number one draft pick with the Wizards, a bullet at the time. The kid didn't even know how to cook. How can you be 18 and not know how to cook?
Right.
He couldn't take care of himself.
That's
so we got to go back to basic training again, back in the home. Well, what about if he only has a home? Well, he has one parent. One is enough. One good one is enough. You know, to me, two is overrated. I don't know. My father's Marine, gone most of the time. I had one did a hell of a job. One is enough if you have the right one, because if you didn't have to do it by yourself, you got school, you got your church. There's so many avenues, but these people don't seek it until it's too late. You know, and so you have to pay the cost to be the boss. And the cost you pay is to educate yourself so that people can't take advantage of you. And if you if you're too arrogant to seek academic assistance and help and counseling through professionals, then that's your fault. Then you deal with it. There's a number of financial planners, institutes, and if you can get it free. They'll help you for nothing because they want to educate you so that you can become a future client.
Right, of theirs.
But see, you know, if you all you cared about is running out and getting you a car and getting you some rims on it, then you're going to end right up with the rest of all of us that have wasted finances dancing with the wrong partner.
I mean, you just, so well said, Doc. And I actually agree with you that, yes, it should be mandatory. I think colleges should have that class mandatory. But I wouldn't stop at just student-athletes. I think it should be for everybody because financial problems, I think, hit everyone, you know, in different ways. And, of course, yes, student, I mean, athletes, we see it publicized more. But, I mean, so many kids especially leave college with their finances already in shambles, right, because of student loans they have to pay back and, you know, things like that. So I think finance, and as you said, unfortunately, schools took it out. There is no home ec. I mean, I was just talking to somebody the other day how they hate that driver's ed now isn't in schools. You know, some of these basic skills that were taught at one time, for some reason, school systems have taken them out. And then I said, now, yes, but that means the parents and the communities do have to step up and make sure these kids are prepared, I think, for life and society at large. Because as you said, there are people who will be money hungry and they will have you thinking one thing and that they have your best interest. But we both know not everybody does have your best interest. And then before you know it, you're making money, but then you're broke. And then that causes a whole nother, you know, web of problems. And when you mess your credit up and your finances, I mean, it's hard to focus on other things. And especially if you're an athlete, the last thing you want to do is have your personal life getting into your sports life. So I appreciate you, Doc, you know, giving your wisdom on these topics. And I hope especially guys who are preparing for the NFL draft are taking notes and paying attention to what you're saying because you've been there.
Well, I'm speaking. I'm speaking as a former idiot. And an offender of every rule, broke every rule. So I'm just telling you, you can't outsmart this. You have to look back and say, and it's not just people that have been deprived socially or economically.
Right.
You can go to Ivy League camp and you can go to Wall Street, and there's tragedies there as well.
Yes.
Just because you know it all doesn't mean it works. There's tragedies everywhere financially, and people have to go through it. But if you're from a background that's financially fluid, you can recover quicker. So those kids go in, hey, Dad, I got a jam. Dad bails them out. But if you don't have a dad to bail you out, guess what? You have to take the burden and deal with the consequences. And it takes you longer to recover.
Right.
And sometimes you don't recover because you don't have a family fortune waiting. You don't have parents to have savings accounts. I didn't learn about compound interest until I was in my 20s. There are a lot of people found out to know about compound interest when they're 10 teenagers. So banking, you know, you have these are things that it's not embarrassing to say I didn't know or I learned late. What's embarrassing is to say I never learned or I never got it. And it's never too late to get it. You can get it in your 60s. But you have to seek it. And that's the problem right now. And people aren't even thinking about it.
Doc, I mean, you just hit so many points. Like I said, I hope people out there are truly listening because you are giving it back. I'm speaking about it, trying to give back, trying to help somebody learn. And, Dak, before I let you go, because I know your time is so precious, I want to hear from you, and I know all the Redskins fans that I told that you were coming onto the show. Can you tell me just maybe a couple of your favorite memories when you were playing for the Burgundy and Gold?
Yeah, yeah, winning the Super Bowl. That's
of course,
my favorite
right?
moment. Yeah.
Okay.
And winning the championship game to get to the Super Bowl. Anytime you get in the playoffs, which,
mm-hmm.
you know, six seasons, and I didn't. Once you get in it, it is the most exhilarating thing. I urge everybody to do everything they can to just get in the
mm-hmm.
postseason.
Okay.
It is. It's a privilege if you can ever play in a preseason game or a regular season game.
Very true.
But once
yep.
you get in the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
it is unbelievable because it's one and done.
Mm.
So every mistake is compound. You compound it. I was lucky
right.
because I had a great group of teammates. And, you know, the work ethic with our group was very, very strong. And it was first generation. You know, I'm a firstborn. I'm the oldest
mm-hmm.
in my family.
Okay.
Our championship was the first championship for this organization. They'd been in it in 72,
yeah.
a team and a game that I watched in Southern California. Brig Owens was from my area. He was in it. I was pulling for him.
Mm-hmm.
I Roy Jefferson's from L.A.
Yeah.
And I love those guys to this day. I admire Charlie Taylor was my hero. You know, Bobby Mitchell. I was so enamored with Larry Brown. Loved him to death. It was just a great team. And
yeah.
I adored the championship ring they received. It's the prettiest thing I'd ever seen in my life when I saw Big Owens
uh-huh.
ring. And
mm-hmm.
when they have rings and you don't have a ring, if there's anything about you that's competitive,
right.
you just got to get one. You have to get
mm-hmm.
one. And I'm like, so that experience is breathtaking because it was a team effort. A lot of guys played all these different roles. And to win it or to go to back-to-back Super Bowls
mm.
and through a period of time here, we won, I don't think it was from 81 or, I forget, the dates may be off, but we had a period of time that I was
mm-hmm.
on a team that was 34-4
mm.
in this town. Now, the only people to go 34-4 in any period of time since then is the Patriots.
Right, and that just tells you how difficult that was.
Well, we had a run. So you
mm-hmm.
were part of something very special that
right.
had a run.
Right.
And it didn't win back-to-backs. We blew the game,
mm-hmm.
and they were better on that day. But 34-4,
right.
I just tell people all the time, hey, okay, go match it. I mean, I don't
yeah.
care how much money you have. It
yeah.
don't matter. You
right.
know, go 34-4 and then holler back. So, you know, when you... When you are part of something that's unique and that is special, and those guys that took part in that, they are, I mean, it's just, they're heroes of mine because I watched them. I was with them. I was part of the process. And
yeah.
I mean, we had some great players. We had some, but I'm telling you, there have been a lot of teams have a lot of great players.
Right.
But when you go 34-4, holler back.
It's that simple. Holler back. Doc, I appreciate you so much taking your time and for being my guest today on Listening with Kana. And I hope you had fun. I had so much fun just listening to you, learning from you. And thanks so much for sharing your stories.
No, well, I mean, someone shared them with me. That's how I got them.
Yeah.
And, I think it's a privilege.
Right.
I haven't met you in the green room. And at the time, Comcast SportsNet.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, when I was an intern, I can't believe how long it's been.
No, but see, to me, I'm proud of you because...
Oh, thank you.
You had a plan.
Mm-hmm.
I won't forget it because we're in the green room. And I said, what do you want to do? And you said what you wanted to do and what your goals
mm-hmm.
were. And you put the work in. And now you have your show, and now you have your format, and now you're doing your thing.
Yeah.
And so it's a privilege for me just to be a small part of it because I get excited for what Glenn Harris, who is one of my mentors, Glenn turned 71 today.
Wow,
and to me,
oh my
he's
gosh.
A legend. He turned 71 today, and he offered me my shot on my first show, WHUR, and his sports talk show. And so that was my first. I was his guest in 1980, 81, and he had a show. He's the only person I knew that looked like me had a show.
Right, right.
And he extended that, and we were able to, where we worked probably at, God, over a decade together on different projects, and Howard University, my first beginning of broadcast doing play on color analysis with his brother, Ron, Charlie Neal, and we're covering Howard University, covering the MEAC.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's funny because I go back and Gus Johnson was our sideline guy. It was me and Glenn and Gus Johnson. And we had to play Harry Davis, the great he was a Channel 4 cameraman. He started the broadcast factory. And my actual first game was at Roosevelt High School. And we did DCI AA football, inner city.
Yeah.
And we had trucks, and the NBC allowed Harry to have all the equipment that they bought new equipment. He got all the old equipment. He fixed it all up. And we actually had a four-camera shoot operation at Roosevelt.
Wow.
And we would do high school games.
Yeah.
And Joe Schreiber was a play-by-play guy, and I was a color analyst. And we started with high school football. So, you know, you have to have a plan. You have to know what you want.
Right.
Then you can't talk about it. You got to be about it.
Right.
And when people offer opportunity, as Harry Davis did for me, as Glenn Harris did for me, then it's your obligation to do it for others. And when people told me, hey, I want you on your show, I was because I saw you day one.
Yeah.
I saw you day one as an intern.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what I encourage young people to do. Don't talk about it.
Right.
Do it. And you're doing your thing, girl. I'm proud of you.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Doc. That means the world coming from you. And honestly, too, with what you said, also, I appreciate you making time for it, because I think that's, you know, speaks another thing, because there are so many young people, Doc, who look up to you. And even to me, sometimes when people reach out to me, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I have people asking me to be their mentor. You know, I'm still figuring things out. But as you said, I mean, you have to have a plan and you have to chase after it. And I think you have to not get discouraged. But Doc, like, I can't speak to you enough. I mean, when I asked you to be on, you got right back to me and said yes. And that means the world to me, you know, to have someone I look up to and you, you know, to be on my show. It's a true honor and a true privilege. And that's why I said this was a joy. I mean, it was fun. And I hope to have you back on. I hope you won't be a stranger.
No, I'm just chopping wood, man. I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to do when I grow up.
No, it was great, like I said. And I mean, thank you for being you. And I hope people understand, really, I mean, yes, you were a great football player, but really just a great person and a great man. And that's why I said, that's why I wanted you on the show, because I mean, you are just multifaceted, and it's a true honor and privilege. And I mean, now you're doing your consulting thing. And before I let you go, actually, can you give, if people want to find out more about your consulting business and, you know, want to hire you, Doc, I mean, where can they find out more information?
Well, docwalker.com. I mean, that's my website. You can contact me there. I mean, I try to be all over the Beltway, so I'm easy to get a hold of.
Perfect.
DocWalker.com. I'm on Twitter, Rick Doc Walker on Twitter, Facebook. I'm on all the social. I play the social game too. Love it. I like it. I mean, it's cool, but it's like I run it. It doesn't run me.
Oh, and that's important. That is very important, because you cannot let social media run you. Exactly. You must run it. But make sure you follow Doc. That's what I mean. It doesn't get any better than that. And you have to, because some people's lives do get consumed by social media, unfortunately. And when your life is consumed by social media, you're missing so much of the world around you. I see it all the time. All the time.
Yeah, I mean,
do not let social media run your life. Yeah. And
yeah,
you don't want that. I mean,
hope they keep listening to KNN, because that's what it's all about. Follow you, do your thing, and know it's fun. I mean, I have millennials. I have three boys. I mean, they're all on it, and I told them from day one, you know, most people in my world, the corporate world, they now interview you off your Facebook page.
Yes, they will.
So
look
if you,
you
dress
up,
up if you look like a jackass on your page,
mm-hmm.
and you don't get the job, don't be mad at the man.
That's
be
true.
Mad at yourself.
Mm. Very.
And that's what
true.
You have to understand. It is a beautiful
right.
medium.
Right.
I can't imagine what it would have been like if I had it. I mean, I would have probably been the biggest idiot in the world, but thank God I didn't have it.
Yeah.
But I'm just telling you, to
right.
have that kind of, it's, everything is documented.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get a chance to do a rewind. You don't get a mulligan.
Right.
I see people
right.
doing things on there. I go, are you serious?
Right.
You don't get the
oh
mulligan.
My gosh, all the time.
You don't get to say,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Right.
So I just
right.
urge people to pay attention, because we're in a world now where everything's filmed or taped, and
right.
just be ready for it. Don't get caught with your pants mm-hmm. down.
It's very true, and you don't get a second chance to make that first impression, and now people's first impression mm-hmm. is you on social media. So even if you say,
mm-hmm.
oh, I'm not that way in person, that's just my social media profile. No, that's
no.
how people are going to judge you.
No.
It's just,
it
it's
don't
just
work
life.
That way.
Exactly.
Yeah. For
life.
Employers, it's a dream come true for employers.
Right, right.
Because never
they get to weed you out.
I've been able to find out about you without you
right.
opening your mouth.
Right. Right, before they even have to take time to bring you in, exactly. They're not going to waste their time. They're looking
not
before you even
time.
Step in the office.
Mm. Exactly.
Well said, Doc.
Exactly.
That's what I said. I mean, everyone got free tips, free consulting from Doc right here. For free. So, Doc, I appreciate your time so much. And for
all
everyone
right.
listening, thanks so much for listening to this edition of Listen In with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and, of course, jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week to new shows that drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously, because there's always another play.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio.